It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Now, of course, we do that because we want to draw some attention to the little congregation that is down the road from you and invite you to our services, and this gives you some idea about who we are and what we are about. We are about studying the Bible and worshiping God in a scriptural manner, using the Bible as our guide to worship, and how we learn what to do to be saved. We look to the Bible for doing that. And we put so much attention on the Bible because it is our conviction, it is our firmly established faith, and it is established because of things written in the Bible. That the Bible is the Word of God, and that God works in this world today through His Word. And so by using this time to get His Word out into the world where people can see and hear and understand, they come to hear and see and understand God Himself through His Word. And so we are allowing ourselves to be used as tools in God's hands to get this word out to the world. Now, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And to aid us in our Bible studies, we're going back to old Sunday school lessons, and these are Sunday school lessons that were prepared by a well-known preacher in his day, E.A. Elam. He prepared these lessons we're going to study today for the Sunday schools of September the 18th, 1927. And it's about Jeroboam and how he became king in northern Israel. And God had made him such great promises that if he would follow the Lord his God and walk in his ways, he would establish his kingdom. But Jeroboam decided to go his own way. And it proved disastrous for those 10 tribes. They were eventually carried away into Assyrian captivity because of their idolatry and immorality and their wickedness, and it is a captivity from which they never returned, for they lost their identity among the nations of the world, and that's why they are sometimes called the 10 lost tribes of Israel. I'll tell you what, whenever we leave God's word, we lose our identity, don't we? Well, let me read to you from the Sunday school lesson. The lesson comes from 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33, and how Jeroboam threw away the great blessing and opportunity that God had given him by turning at once from the commandments of God. He distrusted God's promise at once and began to establish and solidify his kingdom in his own wisdom and in a way of transgression of God's law. He recognized in his own heart the true reason for his establishment of idolatry, but did not give this reason to the people, as in 1 Kings 12:28 shows. He knew as well as any man that Jerusalem was the place where men were to worship, and he was afraid if people returned to Jerusalem to worship, then they would return to Rehoboam, the son of David, that was king in Jerusalem, and he did not want that to happen. When God led the Israelites out of Egypt, he said, In every place where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 24. When they should reach the land of Canaan, God promised to choose out a place of all the tribes to put his name there. They were to break down all the altars and destroy all the places used by the nations of that land for the worship of idols, and bring their own offerings, sacrifices, tithes, to the place which God should choose for his name, and there they must eat their annual feast. They were forbidden to erect an altar in every place which they should come. God chose Jerusalem to put his name there. There the temple of Solomon, or the house of Jehovah, was built. And every Israelite knew this. God promised to establish Jeroboam and his posterity upon the throne of the kingdom of Israel. And he should have believed God. God could and would have done this in his own way. Had Jeroboam and all his kingdoms gone on faithfully with worshiping at Jerusalem, like many today, Jeroboam did not see how God could accomplish this end by the means he ordained. To Jeroboam, God's way would result in complete failure. He thought if the people continued to go to Jerusalem to worship, although this was God's command and God had promised to establish his kingdom if he would do this, but he thought if they did, they would soon return as subjects to Rehoboam and would kill him to get him out of the way. He had no more confidence in the people than he had in God. He who has no faith in God or confidence in men is himself a bad man. And so the king took counsel. He consulted doubtless with some of the leading men of his kingdom, who, like himself, placed temporal and personal success above the true worship of God. To worship God truly, obeying him in all things, was the only way Jeroboam and his house could be established upon the throne. But to him, this seemed the way of his overturn and ruin. So he deliberately set aside God's worship and law for his own personal advantage and glory. His counselors agreed with him that this course was the safe one to pursue, and made 2 calves of gold. In making an idol, why should they make a calf or calves? Aaron had made a golden calf. It has been supposed by some that this was an imitation of the religion of Egypt. Egyptians worshipped their god Apis under the form of an ox or a bull. It is probable that these images were made of wood and overlaid with gold. The cherubim of the temple were made of olive wood and overlaid with gold. Jeroboam told the children of Israel over which he ruled, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem." This was the first pretext which Jeroboam offered to the people. He did not reveal to them his real motive in his heart. The margin says, "You have gone up long enough to Jerusalem." Jeroboam could not see how the two kingdoms could exist with only one place and system of worship. With a rival kingdom, he must establish a rival religion and a rival place of worship. Many today think it's too much to go back to the Bible to see how they worshiped. It's too much to go back to the day of Pentecost and the church that was established at Jerusalem and to use that as a pattern for the church today. That's just asking too much. And those that do this, there'll be those that'll come along and they will say, "You've been doing this too long. Look at all the modern ways and the modern philosophies, and look what is going down on the public square now. It's something popular that will draw people. It's too much to stay with God's old Bible way. And when they say things like that, they're making the same mistake that Jeroboam made. The woman at Jacob's well said to Jesus, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus replied, "Ye worship that which ye know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews," John 4:20-22. This woman and her fathers, like Jeroboam, were just wrong. This contention over the place of worship in Christ's day shows how long a false theory and system will continue. And this woman is an illustration of how tenaciously people cling to the erroneous traditions of their fathers. Jeroboam persuaded the people that it was not necessary to go to Jerusalem in order to worship. Had he lived in our city, he probably would have said, "What difference does it make where we worship? So's we worship. The worship is the principal thing, and so that it's done, it matters not when or where it is done." It is a pleasing argument with people today that it matters not what is done in religion or how it is done, so long as something's done, whether that be just what God commanded or not. Jeroboam persuaded the people that going to Jerusalem was a non-essential. People today are persuaded that some of God's commandments in the New Testament, those sealed by the blood of Jesus himself, are non-essential. Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16:16. He himself was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, Matthew 3:15. The Holy Spirit says to all who believe in Jesus as the Savior and desire to obey him and be forgiven, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:38. Jesus sent out the apostles to teach all nations and to baptize all who would receive his teaching. Acts 2:41. "Into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28:19. With all this before one, how can anyone say that baptism to the proper subject is a non-essential? Since Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven," how can anyone think that any commandment of God is non-essential? Let no modern Jeroboam persuade you that God's commandments now and implicit obedience to Jesus are non-essential. It is absolutely right and safe to obey God in faith. It was the want of faith which led Jeroboam to doubt God and to establish idolatry. It is not faith, but the want of it, which leads many to set aside God's appointed way and substitute ways and means of their own. And so when the calves were made, we read, "Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Those calves were to represent God to them. This was the language used by Aaron when he made the golden calf. He said, "These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Exodus 32:4. Jeroboam and his people should have remembered the disastrous consequences of Aaron's effort. Like Aaron, Jeroboam did not intend to give up worship of Jehovah altogether, but to worship him through these images. And he persuaded the people that it was the same worship carried on in the way and places as seems best.